voicemail, and that's Garage.
Well, hello, Pinkies. This is not the Laughing Buddha, but you are listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage and rounding the bend, just releasing someone off of the hoist from doing greasing their nipples. It is the Faye Driver. Hello, Faye Driver. Well, hello, everybody. My impression of the Laughing Buddha. And as you know, the Laughing Buddha is the co-host emeritus, but he can't be here with us tonight because he is traveling around the world. Who knows where he is? I don't know. But you are stuck with me tonight. However, I have some fantastic guests with me tonight, and I need to introduce them quickly because some of them have to go because they have much more important things to do than to be here. So let me get started. First of all, the ladies of the evening.
Whoa!
Oh man,
are Amy and Bay from Grits to Glitz? Hello, Amy.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. I've got my glass of wine. I'm ready to settle in. I'm not going anywhere. You can't get rid of me.
Okay. That's fantastic. And of course, you hear Bay. Hello, Bay.
Hello.
Good evening and welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Oh, it's so lovely to be back.
Thank you. What a lovely garage.
Bay, you have raced home from work to get here on air for this little show.
Oh, I couldn't wait. I could not wait. And the traffic was so bad.
Oh, no.
It was conspiring against me, but I made it. Yay.
Well, that's what Fridays are like, I think. It's always bad traffic on Fridays in my city. And let's introduce the man who's got one foot out the door and one foot on his microphone. It is Peter the Apollonius. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Sorry, it's my partner's birthday. He's turning 30.
Oh,
wow. Oh, that's a big one.
It ends with a zero.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes.
Are you going somewhere nice? Are you breaking the bank on this one?
I requested of him where he wanted to go, and he wanted to go to the fun Mexican joint right nearby, so it won't break the bank, but it will probably break our belts.
Right. Just like a responsible adult who's 30, right?
Yes. Well, it's really just the 9th anniversary of his 21st birthday.
Oh.
Although, I was there for that birthday, and we went to Chili's, and he got his like first legit alcoholic beverage.
Oh.
I have a picture of him drinking what is essentially a milkshake with a lot of Kahlua in it on, like, a very old phone. It's adorable.
Aww.
Well, happy birthday to Eric. I hope you treat him well tonight.
I hope so, too. I mean, of course I will.
Now, you're there with Eric, and you have your little precious dog.
Yes.
Whose name is?
Cairo.
What do you guys do with Cairo when you're not at home?
She basically sits in her crate, and it's her safe spot. It's actually kind of sad but cute, because whenever me and Eric get mad and start yelling at each other, she just kind of goes, oh, it's time to be in the crate. I'll be over here now until y'all are done. So.
Aw. Has she caught the critter in your yard yet?
No, but basically she'll still yank my arm out of the socket whenever she sees a squirrel that I don't. So.
Ooh, that's fun, though.
Now, you guys, you are like a little trifecta here, Amy, Bay, and Peter, because you're always talking about each other and your podcasts. Let me just say where everybody is from. Amy and Bay, you're from the Grits to Glitz podcast. You want to just shout out your little show for us? Tell us where we can find you.
Well, we started off, we're from Tennessee. Bay is still in Tennessee because she's smart. And I moved out here to Las Vegas, thus the Grits to Glitz. And we talked to each other a lot, and we record it and put it on a podcast.
That's about it. That's really about it. We used to do more bits, and we used to, bitch about Project Runway.
Right.
But it got really exhausting to do two podcasts a week. Really, really exhausting to do two podcasts a week. And so... Now we just
one.
do And yeah, then not, it was
yeah. now nothing for a long weeks. Time.
Yeah.
And actually, this is the link between Apollonius and the Grits to Glitz, is that Apollonius did a podcast as well about, well, actually, Apollonius, you've recently been doing podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race, but you're a huge Project Runway fan, as I recall.
I used to be, and then I think when Bunham Murray got their crazy little claws in it, I started getting less and less into it.
Lifetime, when it moved to Lifetime, huh?
Yeah. It was sort of like, I miss my Bravo Project Runway. I'll just get the DVDs and watch them again and cry. like an old relationship. I don't know why old Project Runway left me.
Aww. Yeah. Are you watching Under the Gun, Peter?
No. I've completely just, it's fallen off my radar. I'm more obsessed with the drag queens now because, well, the favorite episode ever of RuPaul's Drag, or of Project Runway was the drag queen one. And so now it's kind of like, ooh, I get all those episodes over and over and over again. And they yell at each other and they swear and they say mean things. I love it.
And I've heard really good things about Under the Gun, and I think I'm going to like download it and binge watch it some weekend.
Catch up, babe, because you and I, and now I'm seeing in the chat room, Sater from the Sater Sphere would like to know about Under the Gun, and I've been watching it, so I have opinions.
Oh, you're awful. Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to know what you think of it then.
Well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut for now until you catch up.
I don't know where to find it. I'm not sure that we get that in Canada. I'll have to go hunting for it because I did see him promoting it on some show somewhere. I don't recall where.
Faye, if you need to figure out how to go on the internet and legally acquire that show, I can tell you.
Okay. Well, maybe you can send me an email on that.
And by the way, I take it back. I was misreading it. Sater hates it, so never mind. We won't talk about it.
What? Sater doesn't like Project Runway?
Well, it's Under the Gun.
Runway. Yeah.
No Heidi, so, you know, what's the point?
I was looking forward to watching it because some of my favorite people from season 2 are on. And I loved season 2. That was my all-time favorite season. So, and to see them again.
Andre.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Where's Andre? Yeah.
Where's Andre?
Well, Tim is just so lovable. I mean, how can you not want to watch Tim Gunn?
Yeah. So tactful and lovely.
Mm-hmm. And whatever show I was watching on, he was just the most gracious guest as well.
Well, he's been making the rounds. I think he was on Fresh Air. Not long ago, or...
Yeah, that was recent.
Or, John, was he on The Daily Show or Stephen Colbert, one of those? So, yeah, he's been making the rounds.
Right. Now, Peter, if you need to race off and take off, just you just feel free to leave whenever you want. Try to say hello before you go. I'm going to do a little bit of business here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and I just want to acknowledge those people who have joined us here on the Pride 48 chat room. We are streaming live right now on Pride 48 at pride48.com. And we've got a few listeners with us here in the chat room. I just want to go through the list. Amy and Bay are there, of course, along with Epilui. Moose has joined us. Musing Mark from Canada. Sater69 is here. Scotty Battler from Australia is joining us. Tim's Guns are here.
Oh, right.
As well as Toppy Smelly and Eric Boo joins us from Iowa as well. So hello, guys, and thank you all for joining us here on Pride 48.
Oh, party now, in the chat room.
Now, Apollonius, you know, you've been hiding out a little bit. We haven't heard too much of you from your own podcast.
Well, Apollonius,
I think he had to leave. Oh,
did he just go? Did he go?
I think he did. I'm
well,
so
bye,
sorry.
Peter.
Just because it's a birthday.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all right. Well, thanks, Peter, for stopping in, and I hope they have a great time together.
I do too.
Well, that just gives me more time to talk to Amy and Bay.
Hello.
Oh, darn.
Now, Bay.
Yes, sir.
I need to talk to you about your car. This is the Pink Wheelettes Garage, and we have to talk a little bit about cars here. We can't talk about Tim Gunn all the time in Project Runway, you know.
Are you sure?
So you have a Prius yourself.
And we talked about it the last time Amy and I were on the Pink Wheelnuts, and I sang the praises because it was still new then.
Right. Now, was this the new Prius or the old Prius?
This was the new Prius, and okay. I was talking about the great gas mileage, and everybody doubted me, but it's turned out to have really much better gas mileage than the 2005 Prius. This is a 2012, so we're talking about a car that in 2 or 3 months will be elderly. Time to trade it in.
What?
And I call it the disaster Prius.
Oh, yeah, I know. I heard that you weren't so happy with this one.
I am not happy
with this
one.
What's the matter? What happened?
They redesigned a bunch of stuff and took away things that I really loved about the old Prius, the halogen headlamps. I loved those. They were so bright. Mm-hmm. And the way the car unlocks, the old way, you could walk up to the passenger side door and it would, or the hatchback, and it would open all of the doors. If you just walked up to the driver's side door, it would just open that one door. Oh. So when my arms are full of groceries and I'm least capable to fumble with the keys, now I have to fumble with the keys.
Oh,
and, boo. Yeah, they redesigned the windows. And for months, I was parking badly. I could not park straight in a parking spot. It was driving me crazy. What happened to my parking skills? And I never realized, but I really do use the window, the bottom of the window, to line the car up with the next line in the parking lot.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's supposed to be parallel. Well, the windows on the new Prius slope down at the bottom, so I parked crooked for months. I now know how to compensate for this terrible angle. But in the redesign also, you can't see out of the back of the car at acute angles.
Okay, that sounds all very scientific to me. Let me get my slide rule out if I can figure this one out.
Acute or obtuse angles?
See, that's the thing. I can see the obtuse angle, but, you know, at the bottom of the ramp, when you get off the interstate and, you know, fancy new ramps, kind of they have a swerve so that you angle into where you're turning onto the road from the interstate. And I can't see the other way. So when you're looking, is a car going to hit me? That's where you can't see. So whenever I see an angled road, I have to compensate for it and pull in straight so that I'm on the right angle and I can see out of both sides of the car. This is pertinent because other things have happened to the car. When it was 3 months old, debris flew up and cracked the windshield, and the Safe Light windshield repair people did a really bad job, which has now popped. I was backing up at a parking lot, and a woman in a giant SUV was also backing up at a parking lot. And
which kind of parking lot, Bay?
Is it the liquor store?
No. Okay. Well, that's the best parking lot ever, if you ask me.
And so she creamed me, and I had to get the car fixed, and it was a nightmare. It was really bad. I haven't had a wreck in decades, and I told the truth to my insurance company, and she lied to her insurance company, and they tried to sue my insurance company, and fortunately, the evidence, it was so clear. She said I backed straight into her driver's side door, when in fact the back ends of our cars met at an angle. So there was this big, deep V. That was the damage to my hatchback. Oh, yeah. I don't know who crunched her driver's side door or when, but it was really obvious what had happened, as well as my story lined up with the damage done to both cars, whereas her story did not. Crazy lady. What else did I know? Oh, we were forced off the interstate early one morning by a swerving truck, and we ran over a pallet, and that damaged the shield thing under the car that keeps the road noise from being so bad.
Right. Like a splash shield or something like that.
Yeah, the front of the car. No, the underside of the car.
Oh.
It just ran right over a wooden pallet, which shredded and flew up in pieces, big pieces of wood. The next time we took the car in for service, regular old, change the oil, rotate the tires, the garage called us and said, "What did you run over?" Like, oh my God, what are these people doing trying to four-wheel in a Prius? And it just keeps going this way. It's just one thing after another. Last week, somebody crunched into my car in the parking garage. And what?
The car is cursed, is it?
It is. And that's why we call it the disaster Prius.
Right. I just put a picture of Bay's Prius into the chat room for those of
when
you
who... When it was new? Yeah.
Back when it was shiny and new.
Yeah, before it was all busted up.
But... I keep telling myself, if it really just goes ahead and gets killed, because I'm convinced I'm just going to get hit by an 18-wheeler at some point, I'm going to go buy a 2005 or 2006, because I loved those. Right. Even though this one gets better gas mileage, mm-hmm. It's so the older Prius that makes me happy.
So are you quite impressed with the efficiency, like the fuel efficiency of the car?
It really is crazy good. I really am spending less on gasoline. And when the hatchback was fixed and it was in the garage for 2 weeks, we had to drive a rental. It was a Yaris. And I said, oh, those are so cute and tiny. And surely it's going to have good comparable gas mileage because it's a Toyota and it's tiny. Oh, my gosh. We're putting gas in that car every two or three days. It's just constantly putting gas in it.
It probably has a small tank too.
Yes,
Now this is a recent development for you. You actually went back into the workforce and you've gotten yourself a job that you absolutely love.
Completely love my job. Completely.
So you're now commuting a lot more.
Mm-hmm. A lot more.
And so were you driving that to Yaris when you were commuting?
Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we kept having to stop. My husband and I carpool because we live way far outside of town, and we carpool together, and it just makes more sense.
Right.
And also, we have to hug the trees. So it's really obvious when you have to do a long commute every day to and from work, how long gas lasts and how much it costs.
Right. You know, my gas here in Canada has gone up a little bit. It's been climbing steadily, and I'm quite upset about it because it's far too expensive, if you ask me. Actually, I think people want to know in the chat room, Scotty, the little Aussie battler, who himself just got a new law job. They'd like to know a little bit about the job you're doing, Bay. Can you tell us briefly what it is you're doing now?
I'm a legal assistant. That means I don't have a degree in paralegal studies or anything like that, but I do what paralegals do. And it's a really small office, and we let our receptionist go a little more than a year ago. So I'm also answering phones, and that's really weird, having to deal with the public and do draft pleadings and write letters and... do the research, putting the discovery in order. It's a family law practice, so we deal with divorces, right. Post-divorce matter, child support, child custody, adoptions, and prenups. And I get all the discovery in, because when people are getting divorced, you have to swap out your information about finances and, fooling around and what kind of email... accounts do you have? And oh,
you had
social
to look
media.
At you had to look at somebody's hoo-hoo.
Oh my gosh, that was such a nightmare. That was so awful.
Oh.
It was a really interesting case, and our client was accused by his 16-year-old daughter of doing terrible things when she was 5 and 6. And this was an parental alienation case, actually, because the mother poisoned the well, and the girl was honest to goodness just trying to keep her mother from ruining her life. So she accused our client of being a terrible person, and in a case like that, you have to take photographic evidence of whatever the damage might be. And so she goes to a place and they take pictures and then they send me the pictures and I go to work one day and click on my email and oh my god. And I didn't want to deal with it. I walked around the office going, I didn't know that when I came to work today I was going to have to be looking at somebody's awful.
If someone told me that I had to be looking at people's hoo-hoos when I got to work, I think I would want to be skipping that day, too.
I'm gonna go home now. It was real nice seeing y'all. I know it's like 8:30 in the morning, but I'm going home now.
I just want to interject something, though. As the sister who has pursued a career since the moment I got out of college, and my sister raised responsible human beings and decided to make that her career for a number of years, it thrills me to see her excelling and enjoying the work that she's doing. And it's just, you know, she waited quite a long time to go into the paid workforce, and she just loves what she does, except for the hoo-hoo part, and is so good at it and gets compliments from the boss. And I just always knew that she would be good at something and be paid for something, and yay, bae.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You can absolutely tell from listening to the Grits to Glitz podcast that Bay, you're so happy in your job and that you really enjoy your work and it really shines through. And it sounds like you're doing really fantastic work.
My boss gives me a raise every once in a while, and oh, he'll do bonuses. And honest to goodness, every time he does that, I look at him and I say, you don't get it. I love this. Mm-hmm. You didn't
shut
have
up,
to do
Bay,
that.
Take the money.
I know. Take the money. That's exactly what he says. But yeah. I love it. It's nice. And I honestly didn't know that it was going to be like this. I had day jobs before, and they were complete misery. I didn't know you could go to work in an office and really, really love it, and I do.
Well, it is fantastic, especially, you know, I assume this is your, you know, this was your first stab at going back to work, and the fact that you found such a great place to work,
mm-hmm.
what fantastic luck.
Yeah, because it's not like it pays the billions. Mm-hmm. The perks are
but
elsewhere.
It helps. It helps.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
And it's important to be doing something, I think. I mean, I know you raised a family, and not that what you did before this wasn't of equal or better value.
No, that's one of the reasons that I love it so much, because I'm a helping kind of person, and family law in particular, this is something, the work that I do directly affects people's daily lives. Mm-hmm. The people who come in who's, the ex is not following the parenting plan, is not paying his child support, whatever the problem is, if you are miserable and trying to get rid of this spouse of yours, what we do affects people's lives every single day.
Their happiness and their welfare.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's important to be able to do something, too. I agree with you.
Right. Amy, let me talk to you now. We're going to turn the tables a little bit here, and I want to talk to you because you, too, have had lots of exciting things happen in this last year, or maybe even a bit more than a year. You have a gorgeous new house that Yay. You moved into, which...
Yeah.
Do you have a pool?
Or I do.
You do have a pool and you have a pond.
I have, yes, there's a fish pond next to the pool. I'm now in a house. I used to have a house with a pool. I think there's a law in Las Vegas. Every house has to have a pool.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, now I have a pool, and the house came with a fish pond. And I looked at that and said, huh, let me dump some fish in there. Mm-hmm. And I have really come to love the fish. Bay named the fish. Bay is the expert at fish naming.
If you need any fish named, I'm available.
She's the one. So now we have the five fish are Adolf, Genghis, Idi Amin, Whitey Bulger, and Attila. And they are some badass fish, let me tell you.
Whitey Bulger?
He was a mobster.
Oh, okay.
And he's, see, the fish is mostly white. So, you know, he kind of went along with that. Adolf is mostly gray because, you know, he was only ever in black and white.
They had to have really, really strong names because they were constantly being threatened by vicious frogs. I don't know what they are, toads. So they needed strong names.
They're coming out, by the way. They've the frogs have been away for the winter and they're coming back, and frogs will eat fish.
Oh, huh.
So yeah, they had to be able to kick some frog ass.
Right. So what are these fish then?
Well, they are, you know, people say they have a koi pond. This little puddle is not big enough to be a koi pond, but they are fancy goldfish, which means they're about 5 or 6 inches long. They're big goldfish, but they're not as big as koi.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're orange and white. Yeah. They're, three of them are mostly orange and white. Whitey Bulger is more white than orange. And then two of them, Idi Amin is mostly black and Adolf is mostly gray. But, you know, they're just fancy goldfish and mosquito fish. I love the mosquito fish. My goodness, mosquito fish multiply like rabbits. And the county puts them in stagnant pools to keep the mosquitoes down. They eat mosquito larvae.
Oh, wow. We have a question from the chat room, and the question is for you, Amy. Do outdoor fish ponds require a lot of maintenance?
Surprisingly little. There's a filter and a little waterfall so that the water stays aerated. Mm-hmm. But during the winter, I stopped feeding them.
Oh.
And yeah, because I had these little fish pellets to give them. And then I had read online, well, they can't really digest that protein. They'll eat algae. And I have some algae in the fish pond. So I stopped feeding them and they're all still there. Very little maintenance, really, unless, okay, now, and that's the other thing, is every bird that eats fish has found the fish pond.
Ooh.
And one day I was sitting around just looking out the window, and all of a sudden I heard splat, and there was a kingfisher that had gone into, there's a net, I've got a net over the pond to keep such you know, predators out. And there was a kingfisher that had tried to eat one of my darling little fish.
Wow.
He was stymied by the net.
Oh, good. Oh, so he went splat into the net?
Into the net, yes. But it surprised him.
It smacked really, against the water.
He wanted to come up with a fish, and he didn't.
Right. Wow.
And I've seen a heron sitting out there just looking in the water like, buffet!
And I think this is such a nice quandary for Amy to be in, because she has always loved bird watching, always loved it. And here she is seeing a kingfisher. And we would get so excited about that before Amy had a fish pond. Look, it's a kingfisher.
And now it's like, damn kingfisher.
It's a good quandary.
It is, with a little bit of grass in the backyard, a little bit of water in the backyard, I do see a variety of wildlife, especially birds. The back of the house faces a golf course, and I'm now hearing multiple coyotes howling on the golf course, which is a little unsettling.
Mm-hmm. We have coyotes in my neighborhood, too.
Really?
They took down my semi-precious cat, Princess. So we lost Princess to the coyotes around here.
It's dangerous. And people in Knoxville are losing their kitties to coyotes. It's getting to the point that small pets probably need to stay inside.
Yeah, but you know what? My cat wasn't that friendly, so she got she had it coming.
Oh, my.
There's poor kitty. I walk my dog down the road, and there is a cat that I promise you is the strangest cat, and it's an indoor-outdoor cat. I know the house it belongs to, and it will sidle up to you like it wants to be petted, and the minute you reach down, it attacks.
Yeah, then that's my cat. That must be Princess.
She moved to Tennessee.
We call it Psycho Kitty, and every time I see it, I say, look, it's Psycho Kitty. Psycho Kitty. Talking heads? Anyone?
Now, Amy, okay, we'll just move on from that. Thanks, Bay.
I'm going to go sit in the corner now.
Now, Amy, you have some exciting news. You know, we like to celebrate people who purchase new vehicles here. In transportation news, you have an exciting new development, and I'm very excited about this. Tell us what new device you've purchased for yourself to perambulate yourself around Las Vegas.
First of all, kudos on perambulate. I love that word. But yes, I have, after many years, since 2004, I have owned a Mini Cooper, a Pontiac Solstice that got totaled, another Pontiac Solstice, an Audi TT.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was thinking about you, Amy. Just let me interrupt if I can.
Go ahead.
And I was thinking, you know, I know you have this this Mercedes C230. And I was thinking, you know, you're going to need a new car. And I was thinking about what car you should buy next.
Mm.
And you know what I came up with for you? This is what I thought for you. I was thinking, I think Amy should get an Audi A4.
You know, I would not mind that at all.
Right.
That's,
I think,
an
Amy
kind of car.
You would look great. And that would be a kind of car just for you. Now that I hear that you had, what did you say? You had an Audi TT.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense to me that you would have an Audi.
Oh, I love that car. The only problem with that car is it had some electronic gremlin in it. So the electrical system was always doing something funky, like suddenly the speedometer didn't work, or suddenly because it was convertible, the convertible top doesn't think that it's closed, you know. So one thing or another, and I bought the grown-up car, the four-door Mercedes C230 Corolla, which is what I call it.
Don't say that now. Come on now. Don't disparage your own car.
It has a Mercedes emblem on the front of it, but it's a Corolla in its evil black heart.
Oh, no. Really?
That is scathing, man. That's uncalled for.
It's just, after all those other cars, I mean, come on. Solstice, TT, C230.
One Corolla in my day, so I'm just, man, I'm hurt. I'm deeply, deeply hurt.
It's just a four-door box. So in order to save myself from the four-door box, I purchased an Italian sleek, sexy driving machine.
Yes, I'm going to put a picture of this into the chat room for people. And if you're following along after the chat and you're listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast later on, just look on your device or look on your computer, and you will see on your screen a picture of Amy's scooter. So tell us all about this. This is actually a real Vespa, isn't it?
I have purchased a Vespa. It is a GTV 300, which is the biggest, baddest. They made one really crazy, wild, super expensive, impractical vehicle that I didn't purchase, but I got the GTV 300, which is a 300cc scooter. I like to tell people it's a motorcycle disguised as a scooter, because
300 cc's, I mean, that's not scooter.
My little badass machine will do 80. I know for sure, because I have seen it and done it.
On the interstate?
Yes. And you know, when you say scooter, people picture these little 50cc Chinese little, things where people don't wear helmets. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm a bicycle with a little motor on it. And
moped. That's what I picture. When you say scooter, I picture something more like a moped.
Right.
I love my Vespa so much. And I drive it to work, and I drive it on the weekend. And right now in desert Las Vegas, Nevada, it's raining, it's pouring, and there is an annual gathering called the High Rollers Scooter Gathering happening right now. People have come from all over, and it's not scooter weather.
Oh.
So
they're all getting drenched.
They're all getting drenched, but oh my goodness, I went on a ride with these people last night. They are, for one thing, they are certifiably insane. They were zipping all around, and I was like, oh my goodness. And we went down the Las Vegas Strip, and people took pictures, and that was fun because, oh my goodness, oh, please don't point a camera at me, not me. How's my hair?
which scarf did you wear last night? That's all I want to know.
I have created a scarf collection because the only way to ride this scooter is with a silky, flowy scarf flying out behind me. Mm. And I purchased special for the occasion last night. I purchased a satin Italy scarf with green, white, and red colors of the flag.
Oh my goodness. How very, I don't know what.
Obnoxious. Vain. But yes, with me, there were a number. There are all kinds of antique scooters, these beautiful vintage machines that people have. And then there are machines that are used for transportation. You can tell they've been rode hard and put up wet. And people are just riding. One of them had a decal on it that said, "Cars suck."
That's not really appropriate for the pink wheel nuts, but I get it.
That's all right. Well,
for this particular person, their mode of transportation is the scooter. So, yeah, there's a whole scooter culture out there, I guess, especially in California.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Well, we have a scooter in my household, too, actually. Mr. Anderson drives a scooter to work as well.
Yay!
Although,
I wouldn't like your scooter. I wouldn't really class it as a scooter. It's more like a real motorcycle, but it just has an automatic transmission. So, because he's got a great big gigantic scooter, like even bigger than yours.
Ooh, is it a BMW? Is it
no
one of BMWs?
No. It's a Suzuki.
Oh.
And it's called a Suzuki Bergman. It's a 650cc scooter, and that's pretty big too.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, wow, that'll go.
It's as big as a house.
Well, a dog house, right?
Well, I guess. I took it on the freeway, and I didn't get up to 80 miles an hour, but I got up to 60, and it was comfortable at 60. I wouldn't want to go any faster than that, though.
Well, I can see there are a whole bunch of questions in the chat room, and I wanted to address it because I'm all about spreading the Vespa gospel.
Sure.
Preach it, Amy. Tell them.
They're asking if it's quiet, and it is. It is very quiet. It just goes, and people, some of the people in the group last night had some really loud mufflers, and I've heard people, some of the motorcycle folks say loud pipes save lives, because the trickiest thing with riding a little vehicle like that is being seen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you can be heard, that helps. But go ahead.
If I can interject, they're adding noisemakers to Priuses because for the same reason, because Priuses sneak up on pedestrians and they can't hear it. So. Yeah, Toyota is adding noisemakers to Priuses. I don't have one of those, but you can probably buy one now.
Right.
And now, another question, I'm sorry, somebody else was asking how much they cost, and I got the very, almost the very top of the line, and the great big whoop-de-doo Vespas are about $7,000, but they come in smaller varieties. Like if you were going to be driving urban driving, there's a 125 and a 250, and mine is a 300. So there's a good price range from like I think around 3,000. And there's plenty of them on Craigslist too.
Right.
So they're really affordable, and they get about 70 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, isn't
70
it?
70 miles a gallon!
Yeah. Oh
now, God. Can we talk about licensing? Because as I recall, do you need to get a special license, or you're taking some education, are you not, Amy?
I did, yes. I went to the motorcycle safety course, which is $100 well spent.
Oh, wow. It was like
it was a weekend of training, and they taught us how to drive motorcycles that require you to shift gears, which is not necessary with the Vespa. That's the nice thing.
Right.
You don't have to shift gears. But, you know, it was a weekend of training. I thought, oh, my gosh, a whole weekend. But they took us through all kinds of maneuvers and speeding and going over bumps and making tight corners and everything. So, yeah. I had to get the motorcycle license. I have to wear a helmet, which isn't necessarily required with a 50cc, at least not in Nevada.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I have to have the insurance and the helmet and the license and everything. So I'm just like a motorcycle rider.
Mm. So now do you have to take a motorcycle test then?
The nice thing is about the motorcycle safety course is once you've completed that, at least in this state, they give you a card that says you've completed it successfully and passed, and there's a written test and a performance test. And if they say that you were good enough, then the DMV takes that, and then they just add the motorcycle license to your driver's license.
So you just have to go hang out in the DMV for half a day. And can I address RT Cruiser, who says, just don't go all Isadora Duncan with that scarf. RT, you're my man.
Love you.
We talked about that on the podcast a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, Isadora Duncan was a ballet dancer who said, oh, you tell it, babe, because you told me.
She hopped into an open car. This was the 1920s, I think. One of the open cars with the spokes for the wheels. She was known for these long, beautiful, fringed white silk scarves. And she waved to her friends as au revoir, mes amis, je vais à la gloire, which means goodbye, my friends, I go to glory. And her scarf got tangled up in the spokes on the car and snapped her neck.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, not a good way to go, but I haven't done that yet.
But a memorable way.
But yeah, oh my goodness, that's the thing. That's my obsession these days is getting all the silk scarves.
You have to, though. You have to have the Snoopy, you know, Snoopy on the
Red
Doghouse Red Baron moment with the flowing scarf. I absolutely support you in that.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry. I am a ham. I own it. I am it. I live it. And
ham,
I will
attention whore, whatever.
I will not stop saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me. So the scarf kind of says that.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cute scooter.
If I can just speak to the licensing questions in the room. Here in Canada, at least in British Columbia, we have various different graduated licensing for scooters and mopeds and the like. And you do not need a special license if your scooter is less than 50 cc's. But anything that's above 50 cc's, you either need a proper motorcycle license, or if you take your test on a scooter, then your license will be restricted so that you can only drive scooters up to CCs, or the displacement of the engine. So in Amy's case, her scooter's 320 CCs or 350.
300.
Yeah. So she here, she would be restricted to only driving 300 CC scooters.
That's interesting, because that's not true in Nevada. Now they've just said, okay, you can ride a motorcycle. So I could go get me a Harley and go, you know, running down the street.
And we would only be able to do that if we actually took the test on a real motorcycle that had a clutch and gears, shifting gears and all that kind of thing. So
that's interesting, because in my training class, of course, they had, you know, these training bikes that had been pretty beat up.
Right.
But that was the one that we had to use for the test. So supposedly I have the skills to drive a motorcycle with a shifter.
Right. And the same thing applies here. If you take if you take one of these courses, and we have the same kinds of courses, if you go through the course, which I believe someone mentioned in the chat room that it costs about $900. Scotty Battler says a 2-day motorcycle training course is $900, and that would be 900 Australian dollars. It's about the same here
Whoa.
for for it's like a 4 or 6 session course is about $800, and but then you get priority. You scooch through the through the examination. Like the examination is you don't need to do a road test. You just need to do a vehicle control test, which is like a parking lot test, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need to do, and then you get your license. So,
huh?
So that's how it works up here.
It's a lot easier here, which is probably why we have so many motorcyclists acting like crazy people and getting run over on the highway. I wanted to ask you this. Am I being overly sensitive? Because having driven the scooter to work now several times, I have gotten accustomed to getting a lot of compliments from people. Oh, what a cute scooter and everything. But I'm getting a lot of people saying, you're so brave, which to me sounds like you're insane. Am I being overly sensitive about that, or what should I reply to people? Because I really feel like I'm trying to be a very safe driver and save gasoline, and I'm driving at 6:45 in the morning when there's only a few drunks on the road,
right?
In Las Vegas.
That's interesting how you measure the driving. I'm going to drive when there's only a few drunks on the road.
There's always drunks. You just, pick the time.
Yeah. 9 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I don't know. I would say, I wouldn't say you're taking your life into your own hands or anything like that. Definitely it's culturally and historically speaking, motorcycle drivers have always been viewed as the risque set of people. But I think, these scooters are so efficient and so environmentally friendly. And in a large urban center like Las Vegas, which is fairly urban, I think, I think it's a really responsible way to get yourself around. So
I really think that what they're saying is you're so brave to do that on a scooters look tiny. They look tiny and cars look so big. And if you're looking at a scooter behind an SUV, you're going to be thinking, wow, that thing is tiny. If that guy backs up, he's going to crunch that scooter into little smithereens. So in a way, Amy, yeah, you are so brave.
Yeah, I agree in some respects, but then we also need to consider, people don't realize, I think, in Amy's case, her scooter's a little bit bigger than the average scooter.
Get out of the way, yeah.
And people consider scooters to be these little piddly, mopeds that you pedal to get going
that
kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is no longer the case when you see these 300cc and larger scooters now that are on the road. They're a lot bigger and easier to see. And easier to drive, and I think that the things these people are bringing up are attitudes from the past, I think.
Well, a friend of mine, I was saying the same thing to somebody at work the other day. Is this an insult? And they said, I think maybe they're saying be careful. And I thought, okay, I can take that, because there are idiots out there, and I've seen them when I was in the car, and I haven't yet really run into too many. No, let me choose my words more carefully. Haven't come across too many idiots when I'm on the scooter, but I feel like I'm really a little more aware of exactly who's around me when I'm on the scooter.
And really, you need to be, whether you have a larger scooter like your 300cc or a tiny one. As motorcycle drivers, and I would consider you to be a motorcycle driver, you need to be much more cautious. You need to pay attention to what's going on around you, and you have to drive much more defensively. And as long as you recognize that and you pay attention to what you're doing when you're driving your scooter, which you're more likely to do because you can't deal with your phone, there's no radio to fiddle with, there's no texting or anything like that that you can do on your scooter, you're much more likely to be to pay attention and to be aware of what's going on around you and to be a safer driver. So You know, I don't think the risks are as great as people make them out to be.
Thank you. I feel better about that. I mean, it really has been worrying me because after the first time somebody said, oh, you're so brave, I was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's not that bad. And the second time, you're so brave. And I'm like, oh, come on. No, I'm careful. And then you're so brave. Okay, come on.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I think you are brave, but I think although you may be braver than the average person, the fact is that you compensate your bravery. Your bravery is couched in maybe a bit of fear or a bit of more caution than other drivers.
Caution, yes.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, it took me many years to decide to get this scooter. I studied in Japan when I was in college, and I had a little scooter. I had a little 50cc, and everybody had a little 50cc scooter. There were many, many, many of them, and people knew how to drive around them. And I always wanted one again. And I was always afraid of, well, but people in America don't know how to drive around scooters and they could get run over and everything. And it took me a long time to work up the nerve to get this vehicle, which mm-hmm. I feel like is just a really, it's safer than the little 50cc scooters, I feel like.
Sure.
But nobody tells the girl who bicycles to work every day, oh, you're so brave.
Right. Yeah. And I think she's probably taking many more risks than you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on that.
Right. Well, congratulations on your fantastic new scooter. And it's a Vespa. And those are one of the best manufacturers of scooters in the world. So kudos to you. I'm very happy for you.
I am loving it. Thank you so much.
Now, Bay... You, yes, speaking of, we've been talking about Priuses. Does anybody know the plural of Prius, by the way?
Prii.
Priya? So?
Priya.
I wouldn't buy it.
Alumnus, alumni. Priai.
It's a girl car, so I'm going to go with Prie.
Ooh, get all Latin on the say.
I don't know Latin. I think I know what you're asking about. My car is a disaster Prius, but out there in the world somewhere is a killer Prius.
Yes, I want to talk about this killer Prius. I'm dying to know. Please tell us what you know about this killer Prius in Tennessee.
I would love to talk to the police. I'd like to talk to the people who were actually there, but right now I think they're probably in mourning. A beloved executive assistant at the University of Tennessee School of Law died early this week because she gets to work before 6 o'clock in the morning and she parked in a parking garage, which had a slope. And the way the newspaper report put it, and this, I'm taking this from the newspaper, not the police department.
Okay.
She parked, and supposedly put the car in park and turned the car off and got out and started walking away.
Okay, now let me stop you, please.
Yes.
From your personal experience, can you answer this question for me? Surely. Do you actually have a key for your car that you have to put into the ignition?
No.
Okay.
This is an electronic. See, that's why I'm like, okay, maybe I do need to be concerned about this report. It's an electronic transmission. When I park my Prius, and I have done this twice and with both of the Priuses. I've done this twice. I pulled into a parking spot and just turned off the car by hitting the power button. And my car didn't roll. I assumed that with an electronic transmission and an electronic ignition, that it automatically puts itself into park when you turn the thing off.
Okay.
That's my big question, because she supposedly pulled into the parking garage, turned off the car. I don't know if she put it into park. There is a button that says park. And that's what I hit most of the time. Mm-hmm. And got out of the car and started walking away. And her car started rolling down the slope of the parking garage. And she tried to get in front of it to make it stop. And it pinned her against a wall and killed her. And it was awful. She was beloved. Her coworkers, the minute it got to be, I think 7 o'clock in the morning and the coworkers started coming in, they were wondering where she was. They called her husband. They called campus security. People went out and started looking for her. And campus security found her.
Huh.
And then a minute later, her husband came along.
Oh, no.
I know, terrible scene. But I really, really want to fill in the blanks on, was the car actually in park, or was it, the way the newspaper story read was, it was in neutral and started rolling. Well, of course you could do that with a 1966 Plymouth Valiant, but I didn't think you could do that with modern transmissions.
Well, I'm going to disagree. Because really? I think the possibility exists, especially if you have a keyless vehicle, because you just need to, I mean, your doors unlock when you approach the car, right? Or
one of them does, yes.
One of them, when you pull the door handle, the door pops open because it recognizes you're carrying your key.
Right.
And then you sit in the seat and it recognizes you're inside the vehicle and you press the power button and the car wakes up and away you go, right?
Right.
Well, I think, and I will tell you this, in my work, we have responded to people, to situations where people have gotten out of their car with these electronic keys and their cars are left running in the enclosed garage.
Oh, yeah, that's not in the article too. Was the car still on?
Yeah, but it's a Prius. If it's on, right, it doesn't run. Where right. Us, for the fire department, we're going because the car's running and filling the garage with carbon monoxide or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If people get out of their car, they may put it in the park, but they don't turn the car off and they just walk away. So I think it can happen that it's very likely that she probably pulled up. Maybe she didn't put it in park. Maybe she left it in neutral or drive. And stepped away from the vehicle, and away she went, and the thing rolled against her. I think it's highly likely.
Oh, these were the questions that I had, so thank you for answering them.
Uh-huh.
So we're back to the days of the manual transmission now. You need to be responsible for making sure that your car is in gear so that it doesn't start rolling. Remember when my boyfriend did that, Bay?
Yes,
when I was in Athens, and he came to visit me.
Beautiful.
And all of a sudden, the neighbor said, there's a car in the garden in the next yard. And sure enough, he hadn't put it in gear, and it rolled on off into the next yard.
And it was an old car. It was the 1950s. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was by far my favorite car of anyone you ever dated.
Aw.
You know, and I've done the same thing. I have a car that has a key that you don't need to have in. You don't need to put the key in. And I've gotten out of my car and walked away and left it running. And it ran for 20 minutes while I was in a grocery store or something. And I came out and my car's unlocked and running. And someone could have just stepped into it and driven away.
Wow. Ooh, you are full of luck. I'm going to sit next to you.
I know. I'll tell you. Don't kid.
I think there's a great suggestion in the chat room. It says new cars are going to need to have a DNA check. So you have to spit on it for it to open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Bay, do you have your emergency brake? Do you have a lever that you reef up on to put on your emergency brake, or is it a button?
It's a foot pedal.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm sorry, I had to stop and think about it. I only use it on hills. It's a foot pedal. Mm-hmm. So it feels mechanical.
Right. Yeah, and it probably is. I would recommend that you get into the practice of putting the emergency brake on, the foot brake on, every time you arrive at your destination.
That's what I do, whether I'm on a hill or not. I had heard that it's better for the transmission. It keeps some of the pressure off the transmission. You pull up, you put the parking brake on, you put it in park, turn it off, and get out. And that keeps pressure off of the transmission.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think you should do that. Okay. Personally, I am not a proponent of the emergency brake. I hardly ever use mine. I only use it when I think there's a risk that the car could roll away on a hill. So I don't really use it. But I'm a freak. Don't listen to me. I'm a weirdo.
I love the parking in San Francisco. I was in San Francisco not too long ago, and everything is a hill.
Right.
And those people know how to park on a hill and turn the wheels so that if anything should give way, it's curbed. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right. All right. Well, ladies, I want to thank you very much for joining me here tonight on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, or the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I have so many shows. I get confused.
We'll just be on any of them that you ask us to, you know. Just ask us. We'll show up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's certainly been a treat to have you both here. You know, you ladies have been my one of my favorite shows for the longest time, and you have always been there for me on the Pride 48 Network. Our first ever joint show was at Pride 48, first ever live gatherings of Pride 48 in Las Vegas, and you were there for me, and I always appreciate that. And you're here for me again tonight, which of course I appreciate. So thank you very much.
Gladly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I'm just going to say finally, who here is with us here in the Pride 48 chat room? Speaking of Pride 48, I'll go through the list. Amy is here, of course. Crone has joined us. Hello, Crone. So nice to see you. Moose is here. RT Cruiser from Australia. Sater69 joins us. Scotty Battler as well, another Australian friend. Mm-hmm. And Toppy Smelly. Bay is in the chat room along with myself. And Timmy Sims is here as well. Hello, Timmy.
Hi, Tim. So
thank you guys for joining us here on Pride 48 live on the Pride 48 network, pride48.com. I hear a voice. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hi to everybody. I just so love seeing Toppy Smelly and Sater69 because, well, I know them, I think, pretty well. And Moose and Crone and Tim Sims. I just love
and
your
Scotty.
Name.
Scotty.
And Scotty Battler, I know.
Speechless accent.
I know.
Scotty.
Hi, no. Scotty.
And remember, Toppy was the recipient of the
yes,
the
I do
T-shirt.
Remember. Love is love. Oh, can I say this? Okay, one more time. It's been a couple of years since we were on. I just want to say how exciting it is to live in the United States of America right now. And I so feel like soon it's going to be one big happy family.
Mm-hmm. I was quite surprised to see the repeal of what was basically an anti-gay hate law there.
They vetoed it.
I was very surprised that she, was it Jan Brewer?
Brewer.
Mm-hmm.
Who repealed that law. I didn't think she was going to do it, but lo and behold, she did. So she obviously came to her senses. So fantastic news for our Arizona friends, and we have several of them in the Pride 48 network.
The world is getting smarter all the time, don't you think?
Kicking and screaming, yes, they are getting smarter.
Yay, it's going to happen. So, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Just tell us where we can find you, an internet address or something like that, where they can find the Grits to Glitz podcast.
It's grits2glitz.com. Grits ends with an S and glitz ends with a Z. And come over there. We are not currently on iTunes because iTunes hates us, but... There is an RSS feed, and I keep it updated. I know that some people are having some trouble using it, but really and truly, we do publish every couple of weeks, and we Twitter and tweet at AmyG2G and BayG2G, so keep up with us.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at FeyDriver, FeyDriver. And now, typically, I always have Laughing Buddha here, who has the last word. But he's not with us tonight. He's out and about. So I guess you're going to have to deal with me for the last thing that's heard. So I will thank you all for joining me here on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. You can find this episode at pinkwheelnuts.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you here probably next Friday for another live episode of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage.
Hello, Pink Wheelnuts Garage.